Julio, do me a favor and close that back door for me, please. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Not only that, Lord, but 1 Corinthians 15 explains, if all you did was died, we are of men most miserable. We are still yet dead in our sins. But Father, you are the first to rise from the dead, and we're so thankful for what today means. I understand that every day we celebrate the resurrection as a believer in Christ, and we do that every Sunday. But Lord, especially when we have a day just designated and designed to meditate and to think about that wonderful truth. And because you have resurrected, all of us who are in Christ will resurrect as well. And Lord, what an amazing truth that is. Father, I pray that you would be with your children. This is your church, and these are your people. You know exactly what everyone's circumstance they're going through. You understand the truths they need. Father, I ask that this would not just be another average, quote-unquote, Easter Sunday, but today would be filled with answers to prayer, maybe a new truth discovered, or maybe just a truth that has been brought back to our memory we may have forgot about. Either way, Lord, we want to be conformed to your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of neat as we're going through our study on love that's actually going to end on today. You guys that have been here for several years know that I usually don't do a lesson or a sermon, if you will, on a holiday. I just continue on with our lesson series. But it worked out to where we're going to conclude our study on love. We'll be in 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to conclude this great love being seen in Jesus Christ. Now, again, when we talk about love, it's not how a lot of us think of love today. So love, we're going to bring this whiteboard back out. It's having pity or sympathy on someone to the point of acting in a sacrificial way to provide for the needs of others with no expectation in return. So that's love. When you see in the Bible an example of love, there's always a sacrifice. There's always something being done for someone else, right? So when we see in the Bible many times in the Gospels or the New Testament, we see love being expressed with Jesus being sent to die for someone else's benefit. So that's what love is. We would use the word provide today, provision or supplying. That's how we would look at love. And so when we look at it through that perspective, it changes a lot of things. It changes a lot of things. Love is not, well, we'll get to that here in a second. Here in 1 John, let's look at chapter number 3, and let's look at verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another, not like Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love his brother remains in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. By this we know the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his heart of compassion from him, how can he love God? How can the love of God remain in him? My little children, let us love not in word and speech, but in action and truth. So John is going to lay out this thought process of love. So we see his example here. We see God's love being displayed in sending Jesus to die on the cross. or sending Jesus, if you will, in this context. So we ought to lay down our lives, right? We have to lay down our lives. So that's the example. So when we look at love from a biblical point of view, what's the agape love is the word affection. And the word affection in the Greek means to have my mind consumed with. So like we see in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Affection is my mind is consumed with it. And that happens sometimes, right? When you first fall in love, your mind is on what? The other person. Constantly. It's all you can think about. You're Twitter-pated, you know? Has anybody ever seen Bambi, Twitter-pated? Man, old school reference right there. But their mind is on that other person. Yeah, that's what affection is. Affection is I'm just consumed with my mind is on that thought process, on that object. Okay. So we see love here being displayed in Jesus Christ coming. Therefore, so now knowing that, the example is you guys should now love by laying down your life for the brothers. Well, what does that look like practically in a day-to-day sense? Here's how it looks. If you have worldly goods, and you see someone, a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ in need, and you don't supply that need, you don't love them. So that's how it's being displayed. You have worldly goods, and yet you're holding this compassion. Compassion's having mercy or grace on someone. You're holding that back and not providing for them. So you don't love them. You can say, so when we say I love you, what's coming out is, hey, I have pity and sympathy on you to the point to where I'm going to act out a sacrificial way with nothing in return. Now, that's what's being said. And we know that by what's being heard. You don't love me. Well, give me a reason to show that I don't love you. It's always seen in what? Providing. Provision, or what is being provided. You're mean, you're hurtful, you're unkind, you say bad things. And so my emotions reaffirm what's being provided to me is not lovely. So when I say, I love you, what you're really saying is, I need you. Or I feel like I can't live without you. That's what you're actually saying. It's not actually the true definition, I love you. No? Because what's being heard is, no, because this is what I'm receiving. So, when someone is displaying love, it's seen in what's being provided. Now, hang in there. I'll explain. This will all come together here in a little bit. So, when Christ is giving himself for everyone, that's the example. He's saying, you guys lay down your lives for your brothers. What would laying my life down look like? It's easy to think about combat in the military. That is a code that we have for our brothers. When I was in Iraq, over there fighting, you definitely think about you're going to put yourself in harm's way to save your battle buddy. You don't care about yourself. It's just ingrained in you. But what does it look like practically? So I'm not going to always die for my brother. It's seen in, I have worldly goods. I know for a fact my brother needs them, but I'm holding them back. I'm not sharing. I'm not helping provide. So John says, hey, my little children, let us love, in verse 18, not in word and speech, but action and truth. Now that truth will come into more clarity here in a little bit. As we keep on reading, more and more is going to unfold. So love is seen in an action, right? Not an emotion. You don't fall out of love. You fall out of the dopamine effect that you had when you were around that person. That's what's stopping. The excitement of the fantasy that you had in your head when you were around that person has now gone away. So that dopamine, that excitement, the reward system is now gone. I don't love you. No, you lost the fantasy that you had. And that chemical in your brain is no longer there. Am I giving you guys too much? We're doing good? All right, I can tell we're thinking really deep right now. This is great. We'll keep on going. Okay, here we go. Verse 19. By this, we know that we are of the truth. How? And shall reassure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything. So the above. If I have goods, and I'm giving them to my brother and sister, and I keep on doing that, and I keep on doing that, and I keep on doing that, I'm assured in my heart, I'm assured, God assures me through the Spirit, that I love my brothers. I love my sisters. Okay, it's through me acting out by providing to other people that God, in return, fills me up with, hey, good job, hey, good job. That's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. You're being assured. Okay? As I do that. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we will receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us. Now the one who keeps his commandments remains in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he remains in us through the Spirit whom he has given us. All right, so as I continue to give my brothers and sisters in Christ the things that they need, I in return get reassured. My reassurance comes from the Holy Spirit. Good job. That's great. Keep it up. You're doing good. Good job. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. Keep it up. Now, if I do that, I have that assurance, I know that I am actually living out the life I'm supposed to. I'm obeying God's commands. I'm doing things that are pleasing to him. I have confidence now that when I go to God's throne of grace to ask for things, I can feel good about it. In the context, for these believers, what's going to happen to them is, if they are not helping provide for other people, and they're over here going, God, can I have this? God, can I have that? They're going to feel condemned. Why? Because they know other people need stuff that they're not providing for. So as I go to God, Lord, I want this, I want that, can I have this, can I have that? You know they need things also. So you're going to God condemned, you're going to God feeling guilty, as you know that you have things, this is to the believers here, in around 90 AD, Paul's been dead for about 30 years now, you know that people have needs and you're not meeting their needs. And now you want to come ask me things? Time out, hold the phone. I don't know about that. But if I'm already doing this, I'm living it out, I'm acting it out, I'm doing it over and over and over, God reassures my heart, good job, keep it up, good job, keep it up. God, can I have this? Absolutely. Why? Because you're already doing that which I'm going to do to you. Interesting, isn't it? In chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this way, the love of God was revealed to us. How? What does that look like? That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us or completed in us. So John's now going a little bit deeper. He's saying, all right, guys, we need to love one another. Our example is God is love. that scene in him sending his son to sacrificially give himself for mankind to redeem them or buy them back to him. There's a problem. Man's dead in their sin, right? All the Old Testament saints, pre-resurrection, the just live by faith. They believed in God, they obeyed God, they lived it out. Even doing that, they went down the center of the earth to Abraham's bosom. They could not be with God in heaven until Christ died and rose again. Ephesians chapter 4, when Christ went down, got all those Old Testament saints, led captivity captive, and brought them up to be with Jesus and God forever. That's what love looks like. God sending his son. Okay? Now, he's doing this to show us what love is. He's atoning for our sins. If God loved us, we must love one another. So if God loves me and sends Jesus through this process for me, a byproduct is you guys need to love each other. You have to love each other in a sacrificial way. So I'm providing for everybody else with no expectation in return, because that's what Jesus is doing. He wants you to call on him. He desires that, but you don't have to. Everyone has a choice to call on Jesus Christ as their Savior and be with them forever. That's a choice that we have. When we love each other over this process of time, our love for each other is being completed and perfected. It's coming together. It's coming together. That's how we know we love God, when we love each other. When each one is providing for everyone's needs, when an individual outside walks into a fellowship of a group of people, Peter says they're zealous of good works, they're a peculiar people, they look different. When someone on the outside walks in, they go, whoa, there's a love they have for each other that I have never, ever, 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 ever seen. And there's a reason. Here's a reason. If you want to experience God's love, you want to really experience God's love, you experience God's love when you sacrificially give to others. That's how you experience God's love. You don't experience God's love any other way. Here's why. All right. Here's why. We'll sing our song first, and I'll explain why, because I want you guys to grasp this, okay? So here's John explaining what love is, continually repeating over and over and over, at starting with Jesus Christ coming to earth, God sending his son, Jesus sacrifice, Jesus sacrifice. That's the image of love, okay? The value is God himself giving everything so that someone else can benefit, right? That's the value. I'm giving the very, 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 very best. I'm giving myself to buy you back to myself, even though you guys blew it. Even though you blew it. How are people going to see that we love God? How are you going to know if you love God? Here's how you know if you love God. When you know someone has a need and you want to help provide for that need. That's how you know if you love God. This is the explanation John's giving to the people at this time, around 92 AD. You want to know how you love God? Here's how you know you love God, peeps. If someone has a need, a worldly need, and you can provide for that need, and you can't wait to help provide for that need, that's how you know. And in return, God's Spirit, in your spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit a lot of times is seen with what's coming out, which is absolutely true. But it also can happen from within. I give out, and what God brings into me is just peace, comfort, joy, when I'm giving out constantly, right? I might not be shown through the Spirit, outside of one, and that is love, which is the very first one in Galatians chapter 5, love, which is I am providing for someone else's needs with nothing in return. That's what you can do. In return, God can give me peace and comfort and joy. That's my affirmation that you know God. As you're doing this, because you don't have a lot. Got to remember, back here, they're being hunted like savage animals. And they're being killed. So to provide something for someone else, when you know I don't have a whole lot, they have less, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to do without, because that's what God's love looks like. And you'll be reassured and reassured through your acts of service towards people that you're doing it. Now, what can happen is I can get caught up in doing these acts of service, but it's not sincere, it's not genuine. That's why I have to do it in action and truth. Why are you doing this? What's your motive? So that you look good by your peers? The receiver is going to know, oh man, he doesn't really want to do this. He just feels like he has to. When someone gives out of the kindness of their heart, out of the fruit of the Spirit, the receiver knows they care about me. They love Jesus. When someone receives something, it's almost like it's forced on them, like, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. You know, whoa, whoa, whoa. They want something else. There's some strings attached to this. And I could start with Rachel and go all the way down and end with Julie, and we could all go, we've been there before. We know what that feels like. It wasn't genuine or sincere. It was forced on us, like they're being good, like they're good people. No, there's some strings attached. Whether it was for us to do something back in return, or for them to look good around someone else. Either way, Corinthians says it's going to burn. Wood, hay, stubble. That work will be burned. All right, so moving on down here. Let's get to the why here in a second. Verse 13, 1 John 4:13. We know that we live in him, and he in us. How do you know that? Because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God's love is perfected in us, or completed, coming to completion, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears is not perfect in love. So we see here, God's given us the Spirit, and we live throughout that Spirit. We live out of his power. We see that God's love is being perfected and completed in us by us sacrificing for someone else's good. Sacrificing for someone else's good. That's how you know you love your children. You're always providing for them. I'm not saying a roof over their head. I'm saying you're providing kindness and mercy. And grace. A child knows from ages 0 to 10, they're learning from their environment. Their environment, they're looking up to people going, this is how I survive. This is how we behave. This is how we do things. So you can say the word, I love you, 1,000 times to that individual, and they're going to receive that and go, really? How? Because you don't show me kindness or gentleness or mercy. You only want to talk to me when I want to do something for you. And you only praise me when I achieve to what you think is good. To the standard you set. So now they grow up. They can't tell the difference. They don't go, my mom and dad are screwed up. They're messed up. They don't know what love is. They go, I'm unlovely. I'm unloved. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm a nobody. Because they know this is not happening in their subconscious. They know that. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And they're taking it in as, Yeah, right. I don't see any of this. How was love perfected? God knows. In Ephesians and Colossians, that we need to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind. It means to renovate, to take out and put in new. God knows that he has to put believers together to see what a true family looks like. A loving family. What an honest, loving family looks like. So now, I can be around a different environment, and I'm taking in. I'm looking. 80% of communication, 80% through the eyes. I'm watching. This is what God's love looks like. When someone sacrificed what they have to help me, that's what love looks like. When someone is kind, not judgmental, not critical, not hateful, not rude, not unkind. When they're providing peace and encouragement and excitement and joy and compassion and gentleness and humbleness, that's what love is. So that's being reinforced, those behaviors through the Spirit. That behavior is being reinforced with, this is what it looks like. I'm giving to you. Not fake or ingenuine, but seriously, I want to be used of God to help. I have it. I want to give. That's now reinforcing. That's now creating a new identity. People like us do things like this. No more little child looking at parents who don't have a grasp of life, and or the positive is a child looking up in a godly Christian home going, this is how we do it. And it's being reinforced by mom and dad doing it to others in church. Now it's double down being reinforced. It's double down. This is how we do it at home. There's no double standard. This is how we do it in church. A double standard would be, this is how we do things outside, but behind closed doors, this is how we do things. Double standard. Kids know that. They're not stupid. But just think. Born again Christian home, raising a child godly, being reinforced at church with a body of believers doing the same thing. Can you imagine how that makes God feel? Always doing those things that are pleasing to him. You know what Jesus said that? Jesus said, I always do the things that please the Father. I don't know he's God, but it also tells us in 1 John, how do I know I love God? By being obedient and doing the things that please him. 1 John said that also. All right, here we go. Let's keep on going here. You guys are doing great. God is love. Let's look at verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God in whom he has not seen? We have this commandment from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Isn't that amazing? You can say, I sacrificially give to people, but if you don't do it to your brother, you can't say, I love God. No, you don't sacrifice anything for God. How do I know? Because you don't do it for each other. That's how I know. There is a false teaching. I don't know when or how it started. But in the Gospels, which in the context is Old Testament. Okay, so when Christ is alive, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's Old Testament. I know the interleaf says New Testament. I know it's written in Greek. But Christ is a Jew under the law, teaching to only Jews. Okay? He has not come for the Gentiles. He says, he tells his disciples, don't even go to them. Right? So under the law, in the Old Testament, Jesus says, you will know false prophets by their fruits. Some time ago, I don't know when or who said this, but it's picked up a lot of steam over the years. It has gone to, You will know, great bubble, by the way. That was really cool. You will know believers by their fruits. Not true. Show of hands, just humor me. How many of you have heard you will know believers by their fruits? Some of us have. Hands down. Not true. Christ said that in the Old Testament, saying you will know false prophets by their fruits. You want to know if a brother loves God? According to 1 John, how are they treating the body of Christ in service? That's how you'll know. You want to know if someone loves God? You want to know if you love God? How often do you look at trying to help your brother and sister in Christ? We give 20 minutes, 10:45 to 11:05, for fellowship, gift giving, which is a time where we can come together, encourage, pray for, lift up, give wisdom, discernment. Hey, can I talk to you about a problem? Absolutely. What do you think? Hey, you know what? What comes to my mind is this verse, and this verse. What do you think? It's a gift-giving time. I can at least give a gift. That's why God gave you a gift. Right? It's not always food and clothes and providing the needs of physical needs of people. It can be, I'm going to go out of my way and talk to people and offer my gift to help them. Why? Because that shows I love God. Don't raise your hands. Don't nod. I just want you to think about, have I ever been to a church where it just, there's a lot of people maybe, but it just felt cold. I did not feel the love of God there. But it was big and a lot of people. You know in your spirit if God is there or not by what you see, by what you hear, by what you experience. You know that. You want to experience God? Then start looking for ways to spiritually give your gift to help someone. Or if you have worldly needs to help provide for someone else, do it. In return, God through your spirit will say, good job. Your affirmation comes through the spirit and through scripture. That's your affirmation. Affirmation is positive things you tell yourself over and over and over, right? Which are good from God. You know how I know people love me? You know how I know that? By their actions, by what they're providing me. That's how I know. You know how I know if you love God? Do you know how you know if you know I love God? By what you see me doing. Actions in truth. Chapter 5, and we're almost done. Whoever believes, verse 1, that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the one born of the Father. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, as commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe my faith is in a person. His name is Jesus. My faith is not something mystical, like something to be achieved later. It's in a person. So the more and more I grow in my faith, the more and more I grow in Jesus. How do I grow? I grow by experiencing. I grow. Sometimes we mistake having lots of information as wisdom. Don't mistake a lot of information for wisdom. Just because you know a lot intellectually about spiritual truths, does that mean you're wise? You have to go through hurts to experience God is faithful. You have to go through hard times to know that God didn't provide for you. You have to do it. But in America, we try and dance around that. No, nope. Da-da-da-da. Protect, protect, protect. And God's saying, what you want is through there. Get going. We say, intellectually, I want more faith. Perfect. Go. But as I'm being pushed, I kind of dance around the obstacle. I'm going to elaborate more on this next week. There are three things in this world you cannot get around. Three things. And the sooner you accept them, the better off you're going to be. Number one, change. It's always going to be change. Number two, pain and suffering. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Change, pain and suffering. And the last one, things that are out of your control. Things that are out of your control. They're always going to happen to you. And it's through those three main things that God wants us to go through to experience Him. We've gotten so comfortable with coming here for an hour. Now, not this group, thank God. I'm saying in America overall. In America, we've got used to this. We fell into a trap, and it just happened so quickly. Get a good job, get a good career, be involved with your kids, go home, work hard, set for retirement, go to church an hour a week, and you're good to go. And the opposite's happening. God is saying, you have to be around other believers in Christ a lot. Hebrews chapter 10 says, the more and more as you see the day approaching. We've gotten so used to being away as a nation, as a body of believers, as a core, being away from other believers in Christ. If I'm away from other believers in Christ, I can't provide for their needs. I can't encourage. I can't use my gift. And I think to myself, what's happening right now? Why do I feel so thin? Why do I feel like something's wrong with me? Why do I feel like God is listening to me? Why do I feel like God is providing for me? Why do I feel like God accepts me or loves me? Why do I feel like I have any value in Christ? I fell into a trap. I'm not even blaming you. It happens so subtle. Say yes to information about God, but don't live it out. Say yes to your belief system, but don't live it out. Say yes to facts. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe on the cross for our sins. I believe He was born of a virgin. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe. Say yes to all those, but don't ever experience it. Spend your time over here on good things. Not the best, but good. Do that for about 30, 40 years, then you're going to come to yourself and go, holy smokes, what's going on in my life? What's happening? I don't understand. Something's missing. That's missing. You're not experiencing it. Not experiencing who God is. Because as a nation as a whole, we're spending so much time away from boarding in believers and providing for their needs, whether it's through my gift or through finances or through helping, but I'm not being reassured, 1 John says, in God that I'm doing what He wants me to do. I've lived my own life. All good things. So now I feel like, oh man, what's happening? I'll explain this more next week. You guys doing okay? What's going to happen is this. Now I come to a point in my life, boom, I realize, whoa, I should have been doing all these things years ago. The emotion you're going to feel is guilt. When you feel guilt, you procrastinate. When someone procrastinates, they feel guilty. That's the emotion they feel. They feel guilty. All right, you guys following me? Not because they're lazy. They're now thinking, oh my goodness, I have to do all these things now. They're actually overachievers. They're actually perfectionists. They're actually thinking to themselves, man, I have a lot of work to do. I got to get here. That's your image. That's not true. You're thinking of a perfectionist image. Stop. That image you have is not true. That's your guilt kicking in saying, look at what you should have done years ago and years ago and years ago. That's not true. That's a knee-jerk reaction of your subconscious. Don't give in to it. Jesus says, step one, abide in me. Abide in me. There is so much truth on who you are in Christ, your identity in him, your value in him, significance in him. He starts there. That's where we start. We'll learn more about this next week. The love part of Jesus, I'm showing you on this earth how to constantly provide for people. Jesus was always providing for his apostles, his disciples, his followers, those that he came around to, healing, food, handful of fish, handful of loaves, provide. Backed up and reinforced with kindness, gentleness, humbleness, right? Grace, mercy. Okay, that's to reinforce. You can do all the nice things, but if you come off with a critical, judgmental, hardcore spirit, okay, like, whoa, that's not true at all. So it's reinforced by my behavior. Jesus, self-sacrificing the best he has for everybody else, with nothing in return, that's how you do it. How do I know God's love? Obeying his commandments, you guys following me? Obeying his commandments and loving each other in acts of service. God gave you a gift to help each other out. You're not going to feel God's love if you're not, A, using your gifts, and B, at least providing for other people. You know what you feel by what you spend your time and money on. That's what you feel. What you spend your time and money on, that's the feeling that comes with that. We doing okay? So if I spend more time around other believers in Christ, my family, my friends, looking for opportunities to help, now I'll feel that value. Now I'll be reassured. Now I'll find my true identity. Now I can live victorious and free and lighthearted while I go through tough circumstances, while I go through hard times. When I go through tough circumstances and hard times, escaping this way of love, and I do it how I've always done it, what you've done so far has got you to where you're at. What you've done so far has got you with where you're at. Now, the measuring stick isn't comparing yourselves to me or anybody else. The measuring stick is Jesus. Are you doing it his way? That's the measuring stick. When you die and you go before his throne of judgment, judgment day, which is not to go to heaven or hell, you're there because you're in heaven. Woo, thank God. But the judgment's going to be not, hey, good job, compared to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. It's not going to be that. It's going to be, hey, good job, because I was on your heart. I was on your mind. You did it my way. Good job. All these gold, silver, precious stones are all for you because you obeyed me regardless of what other people were doing and not doing. Good job. Pretty cool, wasn't it? How do I know God loves me? Through Jesus. How do I know if I love God? By helping the body, either through my gift or through providing physical needs. How do I know if other people love God? By using their gift or providing for people's needs. Followed up with, what's their behavior like? Are they kind, gentle, humble, meek, lowly? You know, all that stuff. Or is it critical or judgmental? That's the difference. However God's speaking to your heart today, say yes to it, acknowledge it, and be excited for either the changes or to continue on what you're already doing for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. So thankful for 1 John, Lord, on what this love looks like. It's amazing to see it through Jesus Christ coming to this earth, Lord, to die on the cross for the sins of mankind and make that atoning sacrifice. Not just to die, but to raise again 3 days later. And Lord, all of us, when we receive Christ as our Savior, have that Spirit. Father, I pray for your children. I ask that however you're guiding them, however you're directing them, however that you've spoken to them, that they would acknowledge it, they would accept it, that they would say yes to you. At the end of the day, Lord, we all desire to be conformed to your image. But many times there is fear, anxiety about the unknown. Father, I pray you give people courage to take these steps forward as you're directing them. And as they go forward, allow them to experience your reassurance, your affirmation, as they're obedient to your commands and as they serve each other. Lord, what an amazing truth that is. At the end of the day, Lord, we want to have that perfect, complete work in Christ to where we're all maturing in Christ and serving each other in love. I ask that you bless everyone's afternoon. And as they're with family and friends, that you would encourage that fellowship. That you will allow this day to move forward in a new direction for all of our hearts and families. That or that people would just keep on doing what they're doing in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.